Welcome back. Happy Monday. I'm excited to see your faces should you decide to get on camera. Hey, Jeremy, good to see you again. Hi, David. Hi, Cecilia. Hi, Amy. Hey, Jeff. Good morning. Everyone doing great after retreat? Yeah, awesome. Me too. I got some great insight. Allison, do you have announcements to kick us off, or should I just dive right in?
The only announcement that I have is if you are interested in hearing about what Limitless 2025 is going to look like, we will be covering that at the end of the October 7th coaching call. So you may see that we have some webinars going on, but as a returning member, you don't need to go to the public webinars because it's going to be covering a lot of things you already know. So just be sure to attend the October 7th coaching call. We'll have a normal coaching call. We're doing some marketing show and tells with alumni, so it'll be a really good call, but probably the last 30 minutes or so, we will start chatting about what Limitless will look like for next year. So hope to see you there if you are interested in participating, and come for the normal coaching call portion anyway.
Awesome. Thanks, Allison.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if this is relevant for some of you, but sometimes especially when we get together, for those of you who are together, sometimes I have this feeling that's like, I come off of that retreat both enthused, but then also a little bit feeling stuck. And so I was curious if that happened to anybody this past week. And if so, say something in the chat or come on screen. But I guess my experience, there's probably a tribe post in this. Actually, I'm certain there's a tribe post in this about this topic from one of my first conferences that I went to, so you could look it up. But it talked about this place of feeling like these are my people, right? So like we get together and the people that are attracted to Limitless have a similar mindset. And so there's a feeling of like belonging when we get together. And it's a time of rapid new information. And I feel like, especially for advisors who are very astute, quick adapters, like always looking for the new and better way of doing things, you can come off of a conference or a growth retreat and feel like you're behind or that people are ahead of you. And then it starts this whole comparison thing that can get us stuck. Anyone feeling that, or is that just Liz Land?
I could jump in on that one for sure.
Okay.
Yes and no. So I had a couple of great conversations with other people who are, you know, some are in kind of first year and further beyond. And, you know, you think of somebody who's further beyond and it's like, man, how are they doing that? Like, I can't do that. I'm not going to be good enough to do that. But I suspect that it's important to remember they might have thought those same things when they were in, you know, that same, you know, where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then to the other point, like, yeah, you learn all this great information and you're like excited about it. And you're like, how am I going to get this all done? I can't get it all done. And just for me personally, my issue is that I literally have not had the time to do everything I have to do. But I did post on Tribe over the weekend because I got acceptance for an offer I made for an employee. So I will now be hiring my first employee. And so like there's some hope there and some encouragement that like, okay, I'm finally going to be able to start working on these things and chip away at it. And so there's a lot of optimism mixed in with that feeling of overwhelm and being stuck. But I think it's that recognition of like, okay, I'll be able to work on this. I'll be able to chip at it. And, and then, you know, envisioning like, say when I'm 2 years out, I might be having a conversation with somebody who's at their first retreat or whatever, thinking the same thing, let them know, like he or she to know like, hey, this is normal. You know, you get there. So.
Totally. Yeah. What I heard you say is that there was a moment of inspiration and then it just flipped to self-judgment. And I think that's exactly what can happen is we get really inspired by other people's stories. And then we're like, oh, there's something for me that I can't get to. What I love about what you said is this trust that came into that. And so I just want to remind everybody about that self-trust in the process. I'm going to be able to work on this. It's coming. Other people were at this point at some point too. And I'm recalling specific coaching sessions where, for our firm, like we're kind of similar story-wise to Jared and T Coach Jared and Coach Tiffany's story of like, Jared was a second generation son of the first generation and then taking over the practice and then making some changes. So I've always kind of like used them as my benchmark of how do I do this? And I remember, it's such precious time when you get face-to-face time with them and you ask a question of like, well, how did you get here? And then the story comes out. I did this, and then I did this, and then this, and then this, and then this, and then this. And it's like a, like what's that called on the playground that you get, and it's spinning so fast that you don't know how to jump onto it.
Merry-go-round.
Merry-go-round. Thank you, Eric. A merry-go-round. It's like once they got telling me their story, it's just going so fast. I'm like, oh, I'm never going to be able to jump onto this merry-go-round. I want to have fun like they are. I want to be successful like they are. And remember, you can always slow down the merry-go-round because it is just one step after the other. We make the road by walking. So just some encouragement for you if you're feeling a little bit stuck post-retreat, remember one step at a time. All right. So everyone, thank you for that share, Jeremy. Everyone, we're going to check in as we normally do. One is I'm doing great. Two is I got a couple speed bumps. But I'm feeling good, forward motion. And three is I feel stuck. Jeff, that's an exclamation next to a two. And I can't tell if that's like, yes, I'm at a two, or like, I'm at a two, help me.
I'm always at a two.
Oh, okay.
There's always a lot of stuff, but I'm always cool.
Would you shift it more towards the three or more towards the one?
It's pretty solidly a two. It's a solid exclamation point too, I think.
Oh, okay. Nice. Or not nice. I don't know.
It's fine.
All right. And okay, so I'm seeing quite a few twos, a one to two, and a three. Eric, talk a little bit about your three.
Well, things are going, I think, pretty well at work. I think what I'm struggling with is just what I know has come up in prior calls, just negative emotions. My business partner is my spouse, and what I'm experiencing is more conflict about marketing and how should we go forward? And then just personal things are kind of just, like anyone who's in a, committed relationship. And so what I find is my experience, I think, is a lot of, negative emotions, whether it's fear or resentment. And that's really coming into my workday. And it's been, building over a week or two. So it's not an emergency. It's just one of those, like, oof, emotions.
I don't know what it's like to work with my spouse, but I definitely know how to work, how it is to work with family and the stacked different responsibilities. I'm curious if there's anybody else working with family that has that similar type experience, and maybe we could create a little group around that, or maybe someone who feels like family. Sometimes we get into, like we hire someone that is our neighbor or that is a close family friend that feels like family.
Well, I work with my son, so that's pretty close. I think it's hard. You really have to try hard to separate the business from the family life and try to only talk business when you are within the walls of your office. And having those conversations, those reminders about, oh, we're closed for the day. We'll resume tomorrow. Or set yourself, set time and make it formal where you're going over certain goals of the business and, things that are bothering you so that you're not letting it build. Because if she were an employee, you would treat her differently. So I'm not sure who is the higher, higher on the totem pole or not, but kind of just going into it with a set set agenda for a weekly meeting of the status of different projects and stuff. I have a hard time being, my assistant, Alexis, she's not a family member, but she's worked with us for over 8 years. And when it comes to things not getting done, I have a softer approach to that. But I find having that weekly meeting where we can all be held accountable for what we need to get done, you know, and she may have some things, you know, from her perspective on maybe what you might need to do or something like that. So it can be a two-way street, you know, a brainstorming session or having, you know, different things that are going on with clients. We use a program called 90 that helps us keep our team meetings and check-ins kind of structured. And that makes it easier. You can even use it to design what they call rocks, you know, where you have projects that might be a longer project that you need to get done, and that you have check-ins and you have to develop that particular rock to say, well, what are the next steps? And you can each be assigned a couple of different rocks a month or a quarter to be working on, and that you're checking in on the status of those things so that things don't get dropped. And that might take away some of that, you know, anxiety or whatever you're feeling, if you have, can think of it more as a business and maybe not as a conflict between a husband and a wife.
Definitely easier said than done, I'll
no,
say.
No, it is. But that's why you kind of put the work hat on and make it a formal, you know, meeting or something. And I don't know if it's just the two of you or if you have other staff people or not, but.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, we've worked together for 6 years, and we do have I think, an excellent working relationship. We're very business focused on our weekly meetings. Our quarterly meetings are exactly that. They're quarterly rock meetings. We take the limitless weekly meeting agenda. So I think we've implemented that well. I think what I'm experiencing is challenges in our personal relationship and how we're interacting, and, you know, arguments, things that really don't have anything to do with business. And that is now affecting how we work together. And, you know, she's, you know, co-founder of the firm, and she's very entrepreneurial. And she's like, you know, I don't want to be involved in this firm anymore because we've decided I'm going to do all the boring stuff. So compliance, you know, preparing financial statements for the firm, client billing, a few technology things, which if you would prepare a list of things that would be death to most entrepreneurial people, those would be top of the list. So you know, our personal relationship, I think, is having some rocky moments. And then when she goes to work, all of her tasks are like, I literally hate every one of these things. And so how to navigate that and how to have her kind of extract from the business while she still feels like I'm part of the business and I want to make decisions. Mm-hmm. And my perspective is like, you're not anymore. You know, yes, you're an equity holder, but you're not involved in the business. Mm-hmm. So how do you lose a co-founder? And then, you know, we've just got personal relationship, you know, stuff that's bleeding this way. I see a lot of people that talk about that way, you know, don't bring it home. You know, I'm like, well, that's okay. But it's the other way. And, so, you know, that's a different, you know, kind of coaching, counseling, you know, topic, but that's what's going on for me.
Well, and what I just want to express is that I think that's a lot more common than you believe, just in the engagements that I've had personally and hearing stories from other people. If you're willing to be coached around it without going in, like, you can keep your personal life personal, but find what's stucking you. We can absolutely coach around it. So do you want to be coached around it?
Sure. I'd be happy to.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to pin you so I don't have you. Let's see. I need to see myself. I'll pin me too, so you're not the only one on the screen. There you go.
There we go.
All right. So if you could generate any outcome for yourself through this conversation, what do you want to create?
That's a great question. Probably some clarity on how to handle business decisions that we have ahead of us together. Understanding, acknowledging that there are tensions personally, but these, you know, business decisions do need to be made. You know, we're thinking about hiring, another employee. We've thought about that for quite a while. And do we go forward immediately right now, or do we engage a, business website and marketing firm first? They're both big ticket items. We have capacity probably for one. And that's an important and exciting decision. But there's tension between us that hasn't been in the past. In the past, we've been, like, hey, let's look at the data. It's great. As things grow and change, we have another big decision, but this one feels like it'll be different because, excuse me, of some of this personal tension. So figuring out how do we have that, and then maybe some help with my own, mind space, just about a personal relationship that's really important to me that is not where I'd like it to be, wrestling with coming to work, but a big part of my mental space is, what did we just talk about? Or there was a fight, or, and I'm sure no one can relate to this.
Yeah, didn't
But
happen to
just,
me yesterday at all.
yeah, exactly. And just coming to work, like, okay, time to go to work. But my, emotions or mind is still kind of like, oh, there's this part that doesn't feel great,
Yeah, so the interesting thing here is we can always talk boundaries, which is kind of the way that Leona was having the conversation. Yes, there's boundaries that can be put in place, sure, but there's also this emotion component. And so you keep using the word tension. What does that mean to you?
I mean, I think for us, I think we will, not see eye to eye on day-to-day things personally. And there's kind of like little quarrels that break out. And then it's not resolved, and then, from at least on my side, it feels like things are not, necessarily close between us, right? We've had a disagreement about something or the other or, whatever. And then tension with kids or just life kind of comes up. And then it just doesn't feel settled. So for me, that's what I mean by tension.
What predictably happens to you when you don't feel close to someone?
For me, I'll start to worry that the relationship is, somehow at risk or that bad things are going to happen. And I'll feel a sense of anxiety. And so, and that's, what I kind of bring to work. It's like, rather than coming and being like, hey, it's a great day, in the neighborhood, we've got so much good stuff going on, and we do personally and at work. It's like the only thing I can think about. And it's not a feeling of like, oh, I'm sure it'll be okay. It's anxiety and fear, like, oh man, like what if? You have friends that are going through breakups, and terrible things happening, and you're like, oh geez, like is that in the future? Your mind goes to different fears, with important relationships.
So, what are you protecting yourself? What is the what if that you're protecting yourself from?
That's a good question. Probably, I can say it's hard. It's pretty hard for me to have honest conversations with people that I care about. In my, family, we never did. And so even the thought of like, hey, let's sit down and have this difficult conversation, I like break out in sweat. And so, yeah, of course, you need to do that with people that are important to you, whether they're employees or partners or personal. But so that's like, okay, yeah, I need to do it. And sometimes I've handled those conversations badly, where I'll blame them or I'll get angry or whatever. And so it's like, well, how do you do that? I don't know. I feel like an emotional kindergartner sometimes. Like people are like, you should share your feelings and talk to your spouse about it. And I'm like, let that, like, okay, apparently you know how to do this. And every self-help book says, yeah, do it, but those have ended in fights, or I said something stupid, or she's like, you know what, I'm out. Like, you're clearly upset, I'm done. And I was like, oh, I was just about to share my feelings. And so that, I guess I feel like we need to have those conversations, but it's like, oh geez, like, is there a decoder ring on how to do that well? I don't know. And to be fair, this is not, like marriage counseling, but we do have an appointment with a marriage counselor set up. So like, I'm sure many of you are like, this sounds bad, you should see a counselor. We will. We're like, we
Okay.
it's still
Yes,
there.
absolutely. And you don't have to protect everyone here in this moment. Everything that you're experiencing is completely human. And the point of mindset is to really get to the heart for you what's happening.
Right.
So, your wife's not in the room. We're not having a counseling session. So,
That's right.
yes, All is fine. We're fine right now. You said the comment, "You're clearly upset. I'm out." And that was attached to you showing up emotionally or vulnerably, I guess. Did I hear that right?
Yeah. Yep.
So what is your story?
Tell me, understand that question.
Actually, I'll assert your story and then you tell me how you'd tweak it.
Okay.
The story is, when I show up emotionally, someone else walks away.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. That is kind of a common dynamic. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And that may or may not be true every time. Right. How true does it feel?
Pretty true. Yeah.
Pretty true. Okay.
Yeah. I'd say majority of the time. Yeah.
Okay. So when I had asked, like, what's the what if that you are shielding yourself against, you went to hard conversation.
Yeah, I guess my, you know, kind of grasping for like, what do you do? I guess my kind of programming thought is like, well, you're supposed to talk it out and work it out. So I feel like it's a should, like we should have this honest conversation, and we should fear our feelings because everyone and their mother and their grandmother and every advice book in the world, you should have this conversation. And in the back of my mind, it's like, well, fudge, like I don't know how to do that, and they don't always go well, but I guess we're supposed to do it, you know. It just kind of feels like you're supposed to clean the toilet. You're like, yummy, that's great, you know. Just
well, and even in your even in the way that you said those words, like, oh yeah, I'm gonna have to do this, okay, yeah, everybody's doing it, like, what are you pissed off about?
Just, you know, well, I think historically that trying to show up and not be listened to, I think that's hard. You know, I think that's a dynamic in my relationship. You know, you feel like, I think I'm learning to say my perspective is valid and these feelings are important. And it's not that they are reality. It's just like, it's all I got. So I think that it certainly makes me feel angry. Yeah, I think that's probably it. And then also this feeling that like somehow I'm supposed to know how to do this. Like people are like, you know, like literally, like I talked to my guy friends, they're like, well, you know, you really should talk to your wife. And I was like, look, if I hear that once more, I swear, like, yes, we should talk, as if like talking always makes it better, right? You never fight with your wife when you have these, and they'll be like, oh, well, actually, that's right. And I'm like, yeah, I think maybe we just like have a mediator or something. That's like, maybe I shouldn't go have these conversations.
So even in the preparation to have the conversation, which is one act of courage, you're hearing these voices of like, you should be doing this, and da 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 da. And so you're like reacting both to the act of having the conversation and your own feelings about competence in it.
Right. And then, you know, full disclosure, you know, I've got a lot of shoulds for the person on the other side. You know, this my spouse should be doing this and they shouldn't be doing that. And I can't believe they said that. So then it's like all my shoulds. You know, so yeah, there's a lot of expectations around on myself, and then I'm throwing them the other way. So,
would you like to talk about your self-righteousness or the other voices?
You know, I think it's probably better to stick to myself.
Okay.
Just see, because I can control that.
What's so important about you being right?
That's a great question. Where do you come up with these questions? Jeez. I don't know. I think I have a fear of failure and a fear of being wrong. In the past, you know, sometimes when I've been wrong, it just seems like it, you know, bad things happen. So I think it's a protecting, like, I have to be right. You know, and I'm the guy that likes to research the cars and research the gear. Like, is it the best, you know, trail running shoe? I don't know. I'll read 42, you know, reviews. So yeah, being right is pretty important to me. And I think it's tied to being safe, you know? Yeah.
And how is that getting in the way of conversations?
Probably because if I was on the receiving end of my shoulds, I'd probably be kind of, you know, it probably put me on the defensive. So I'm probably putting my spouse.
Yeah, pause you there.
Yeah.
You just jumped onto her side. I think you said your spouse was away.
Yeah.
You jumped on her side of the street, just
Yeah.
there.
Right.
You weren't in your own feet.
Yeah. So if we could go back, say your question again.
I don't remember it.
It was on the line of like, why is it so important to be right? And what I think is holding me back, or what was it like negative?
Oh, how is it getting in the way of your conversation?
How's it good? I think because well, I don't know how to describe how it gets in the way, but I think it injects anger or emotion that's not very helpful. And probably rather than listen and try to understand, I'm coming like more from a high horse or judgment.
Yeah, the image that I just got there is there's a way that you have this feeling of like, I'm right, I'm valid, I know what I'm talking about. I have no, valid was the word that you used. I'm valid. But the moment that you let yourself go there, you also come with like, how are they going to feel about it? What's going to happen on to them? How are they going to react? And so there's no win in that.
It doesn't seem like it. You know, one thing this is touching on, what I've wrestled with, like in the periphery of my mind, is I grew up in a situation where like no one cared about anybody's feelings. L literally, I grew up in Wisconsin, and God bless them. You know, people in Wisconsin were basically like, look, suck it up, buttercup. I'm sorry you skinned your knee. Get back out in the game, you know. And it's like, I'm having a bad day. Well, you have food and people in Africa. Like, I'm sure other people can complete this narrative. So, like, zero care about emotions. And I've just gone through life like treating my own emotions that way. But that doesn't work. And so this is really fascinating. I'd love your thoughts. What is interesting is, how does one say to the oneself, what my emotion is like valid and important, right? Like, I should pay attention to this emotion. I shouldn't throw it in the trunk, you know, because when I throw it in the trunk, it'll like blah blah. So that's like, Eric, your emotion is important. You should pay attention to it. Okay, great. But then sometimes I'll, you know, walk over to my spouse, figuratively or metaphorically, and be like, my opinion is all that matters, and da 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 da. And it's like, I don't know how to square that circle to be like, I'm experiencing whatever, right? Anger, fear, resentment, n name your negative emotion. And normally I would just ignore it. Like, let's just pretend it's not there and go along, which is a disaster of a strategy. If anyone's trying it, I encourage you to stop. But then in a conversation, I will tend to make that reality, that she is supposed to now interact with this as reality, right? When it's just an emotion. Yes, it's important. So I have no idea how square that circle, but this is touching on it. And
Yeah,
it
great
leads to
awareness on that.
self-righteousness. Yeah.
Yeah, what I hear is that you're at an either-or place of either I'm gonna skip over it and my opinions don't
Yes.
matter, my emotion doesn't matter, or I'm gonna sink into it and I'm gonna get stuck there and I'm just gonna
Yeah.
sit in
Or I'm
my
gonna, and then I'm gonna, and then I'm gonna kind of go to this person I love very much and say, well, because I'm experiencing this is reality for everyone in the room, and you need to react to it, and you know, and it becomes very judgy and self-righteous and angry. And yeah. And those are like two pretty bad imaginary decisions. Like, either you're gonna ignore it, or you're gonna make it reality and get really angry. Those are like the, I'd like a third option, please.
Create one. What is it?
It's like somehow like accepting the emotion and then somehow letting it go. Like on my own, I feel like I should just be like, you're good, Eric. Like, let's journal about this and let's validate that emotion, and that's cool. And then like let it go when I'm talking to her. And rather than be like, I have to bring this emotion to you and you have to react to it, it almost feels like it'd be better on my own just to be like, okay, saw it, processed it, accepted it, sweet, now I'm good. And now I can have like, and maybe you do mention it, but it's not like the reality of the conversation. I don't know if that makes any sense, but that seems like a better approach.
How would you do that practically?
I've been experimenting with journaling and meditation, and they're both really, really cool. A friend who's involved in Alcoholics Anonymous shared this thing that basically you write down really simple thing. It's like, I have fear blank, I have fear blank, and it's a daily writing thing for him. I have fear, I have fear, I have fear. You write these fears, and then you say, I have resentment at whatever, you know, political party, person, you know, your broken shoulder, whatever. because I have fear. And then you write that down. And then they have this concept of a higher power. And they said that they have a prayer that they say, please help me let go of these fears and resentments. And then they rip it into small pieces so no one ever finds it. And they get rid of it. I think something like that seems a lot more healthy than ignoring it or, you know, somehow spewing it all over.
Yeah, I think that is a great way of processing through it. I think that, you know, when I, what it reminded me of is, and I've probably shared this metaphor before, is like a pop can that we have that gets shaken up. You know, shake, 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 shake. Who wants to open it? At some point, it's going to burst open. And so what I hear you doing with that practice, if you integrate it in a regular cadence for yourself, is letting out some of the gas that gets built up, that pressure, as to not get it all over somebody.
And then I think,
go ahead.
I was going to say, and then I think maybe probably asking, you know, people I trust, I could probably get some feedback on when and how to bring any of that into a conversation with my loved one, you know, and maybe you don't, not every strong emotion needs to be telegraphed, Eric. And, but it's in the same regards, does not, should not be ignored. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. This is very helpful.
Did we get to where you wanted to go?
I think so. This has been great. Thank you.
Awesome.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for
Yeah. A quick share on that. Maybe I've shared this story before or not. It was a very poignant time for me. Last year, we did our strategic planning meeting with the team, and we brought our coach in to facilitate it, and she did a little bit of training around it. And with that, it surfaced some frustrations of the team directly towards me. Now, I'm an emotional person. I don't mind showing emotion in front of people. And it felt like an attack. It felt really uncomfortable. There was like a technical glitch that had happened, and my team thought that I was like completely switching the vision, even though I had like done so much work to co-create it with them, to like get everybody's buy-in, because that's how you're supposed to do this leadership thing and over-communicate on it. All of it to point to this moment where everybody's like, you changed the vision again. And I'm like, it was technology, but it surfaced this resentment that they had with me. It sucked. Like, we were 6 hours together, and this is maybe 3 hours in and a good 30 minutes of talking about Liz. And what was supposed to happen right after that was for me, well, actually, we were just getting ready for me to present the vision and like how we're carrying it out into our strategic plan. And this had surfaced. And so it's like, okay, now I'm supposed to be big girl leader in the firm and present this confidently, but I feel like attacked, essentially. Were they attacking? Not necessarily. That's just my emotional reaction to it. So pause. I notice like I'm shaky. I'm like trying to hold it together. But I took a pause. I was like, hey, I need 5 minutes. And I walk into the other room and I physically shake it out, because emotion sits in your body. It's a psychosomatic body experience that we have. Emotion is as real as we make it. And that's not to say that emotions are bad or like you should skip over them or anything. They make a physical presence in your body. Nervousness, scared, fear, excitement, like they all have a place. And so just in like doing that, I was able to give my body the release that it needed, that was like pent up, like that shaken bottle, as to come back in the room and just hit it right into the vision of the firm. And so I just offer that as another option for you. Picturing yourself as a pop can, and any moment that you feel like I'm about to explode, catching yourself right before that. This is the catch and correct. Catch yourself right before it. Say, you know what? I've got some big emotions right now. I don't want to get that all over you. I'm going to go take a 5 minute break. I'll be back. Give yourself that permission. Go to the bathroom. Or you don't even have to be that transparent. I mean, it's your spouse, so you can be that transparent. Maybe it's an employee or someone that you don't, a client that you don't want to be that transparent with. You can just say, you know what? I need a bio break. And then go to the restroom, shake it out, get yourself a drink. Reconnect your mind back to your heart, back to your body, get that deep breath, and move forward. So just offer that story to you. And thank you so much for the vulnerability of sharing. I have it that there are several people dealing with this at different levels. And I think it's really courageous for you to even surface it as something to talk about.
I really appreciate it. And thank you for that, the example. I am someone that's emotional, and I sometimes will catch myself on the verge of tears. All of a sudden, it surprises me. Mm-hmm. And so being able to be like, hey, I'll be right back. Mm-hmm. So that's helpful. Thank you.
Yep. Okay, let's give Eric freedom from the spotlight. And who else? Did this bring up something for someone that they would like to be coached around? So I'm seeing, Amy, your comment there, and I'm curious, with excited and struggling to bring teammates along. I've heard this quite frequently in Limitless because you get so many good ideas. And yeah. Then, yeah. Would you like to be coached around it?
Sure.
Did something come up for you with the conversation I had with Eric that pointed to something you needed?
No, not necessarily. You know, like the two partners I work with, you know, one of them is, you know, very experienced, older gentleman, great at what he does, but we struggle with him sharing his notes and things in our CRM. And the younger one, you know, brand new, learning, bringing him along, trying to teach him, trying to not have him pick up on bad habits of the other one, kind of thing. I feel they're very unfocused. Like for instance, we have a weekly meeting, and one of them maybe will show up, maybe does, maybe doesn't let us know until 5 minutes before the meeting. Hey, I'm going to be 15, 20, 30 minutes late. You know, for me, I'm a go-getter. I'm a planner. You know, just like Eric, I overthink everything, right? You want to buy something, you got to do the research and read all of the reviews, and I'm a planner. That's just who I am. And these guys aren't. So the whole Limitless thought process of, you know, being focused, turning off all the other noises, I understand that. I can't teach them. I can help guide and kind of give like ideas and things. I've been put in charge of like building the processes and the procedures. So for me, I struggle with their focus to follow the processes and procedures that we're putting together. Mm-hmm. You know, we would like to grow. So there's no way a new advisor could come on with us and be successful because the processes and procedures are there, but only half of us are following them or, you know, keeping things updated in our CRM and communicating. Really, it's communication. Mm-hmm. I mean, does that make sense?
I'm tracking with you.
Cool.
What would be a good outcome of this conversation for you?
You know, I really do think that the attention when we're in meetings from them would go really far for me. And I don't know if it's a fact of, I feel like they're not listening or respecting or, you know, on the same page. I know they want to succeed. I know they do. But a successful outcome, show up to the meeting. I mean, it's on the calendar. He doesn't even accept the weekly calendar invite until he gets on the call. So it's like the unknown. Just, you know, follow the processes and the procedures. I guess that's what I'm struggling with, is their lack of not understanding how important those really are and what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. And what about an outcome in this conversation for you?
I think I would say kind of, I have to see it from their side too, of why they're not focused or what it is I mean, I know one of them is, he's just always, even when we're in the same office trying to have a conversation, looking him in the eye, having a conversation, he'll then turn around and, you know, go respond to an email. He feels he can do two, three things at the same time. And maybe he can, and maybe I have to accept the fact that maybe he, that's how he can concentrate. But for me, I really find that frustrating and kind of disrespectful, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So for my outcome for me today, I don't know, just try to accept that they are who they are and lead with love and show, don't say, don't tell. I don't know.
Does that feel genuine? Help me, Liz. Does that feel genuine to you? They are.
Yeah.
Lead,
I mean,
with love.
Of course. You know, okay. I mean, lead with love. You know, one of my mottos is elevate others because it'll mm-hmm. elevate you. So I guess it's frustrating that I have this whole mindset, growth mindset of everything, you know, personally, business-wise, you know, I've got kids trying to, you know, raise kids, and it's just, I would love to see more leadership from them too, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I'm okay. I really do. I don't mind building the process and the procedures. Mm-hmm. You know, I know I want to grow. I've got my numbers. I know my numbers. I've shown them the numbers and they're like, hey, that's pretty cool. But I don't think they really get that. If you have to measure it in order to, you have to measure it in order to manage it.
So am I hearing you correct? What? Sorry, go ahead.
I didn't say anything.
Oh, okay. Maybe it's somebody else. Am I hearing you say, I've got my numbers. I can do my numbers. I like doing the procedures and processes. I'm going to follow them no matter what. I'm going to be okay. Am I hearing you say that?
Yeah, I'm going to be.
They don't adopt it. I'm going to be okay.
This is true. I'm going to grow with or without them. I would love their help.
So I just want to acknowledge in that what you're saying is, irrespective of their intention, of their discipline, of their following the path that you're charting, you're going on the path.
Yes.
So in that, there is a bit of a release, is what I hear, to whatever they decide to do.
Yes.
You went like that. So what does that mean?
Well, I mean, yes. I mean, absolutely. I would love to grow exponentially because they're on board and helping with growth. Mm-hmm. I guess I'll be okay. Mm-hmm. I would love to be better than okay. And, you know, to concentrate on other things like bringing on new advisors and, you know,
mm-hmm.
teammates to help, you know, grow bigger, get better too. Mm-hmm. So yes, I mean, I think Jeremy mentioned it earlier. You know, we hear all, you know, you see all these people that are 3-4 years into Limitless. And you're like, man, I want to go work for them. I don't want to put in all the hard work.
Mm-hmm.
And then, especially for me, like I'm putting in all this hard work, but I'm not getting any partnership help mm-hmm. alongside. So I'm just going to jump ship and go work for somebody who's already got it figured out. That's a thought I always have, but I'm happy where I am. Sky's the limit where I am.
You probably just had people on the call that are like, call Amy.
Yeah.
So I hear a couple of different directions we can take the conversation. One is this dancing with the idea of going to another firm. And is that really something that you want or not?
No.
And just either putting it to rest or exploring if that's the direction you want to go. That's one direction. One is this feeling of disrespectful that we can touch on. And then the other is a direct relational thing with either, I'm assuming it's the older person, just by the way that you put that together, but that's an assertion that more of the rub is with the older person than the younger person.
That's true. Yes.
Okay.
I mean, he's the one who's got he's great in front of clients, great with individuals. And he, you know, he tells you exactly what it is you want to hear, but there's mm-hmm. not a lot of action backing it up at times.
Mm-hmm. So what do you want to focus on of those three options?
I guess it would probably be just me accepting that I'm gonna have to accept that they're probably not gonna change. And just like with anybody, you can't make people change. I just have to accept that. Build as easy, keep it simple, stupid processes and procedures that they have no excuse but to follow and stay on board. And I mean, like I said, we have a weekly meeting. They're great. We always have great conversations and great ideas and great next steps, but only one of us is doing the next steps.
Okay. I still hear that as a different, do you want to go into the way that you feel at those meetings and some of the assertions that you're making that I'm hearing? Or do you want to go into, can't change them?
Can't change them.
Okay. What's hard for you about not changing others?
Well, I think it probably has a lot to do with I have a BFG, a big fucking goal. And I would really be so much easier if they were on board. So I think that's probably a lot of what my hesitancy and frustration is with them is, man, if we were all working focused optimally, it wouldn't be a problem.
So you're the
Scott,
visionary.
yeah. I think that's the hardest thing for me. It's like, I've got a big goal. Can I get there by myself? Yes, maybe. But I know that if we could, the three of us work together, and we are. It's not like they're slacking and they don't care. They just aren't as focused as I would, as maybe, okay, there you go. Maybe they're not as focused as me, and I resent that, maybe.
Okay. Why do you resent that?
Because if one succeeds, we all succeed. I'm not saying that I'm carrying them or they're carrying me, but I don't know. I don't know.
What is it keeping you from?
The massive growth that we're trying for.
And why is that important to you?
It's important to me because part of my BFG is to build, gather assets, and then in 3 years to basically just nurture those assets. So looking for growth these next 3 years and then just maintain for a couple years while I plan on kind of going not really part-time, but not full-time.
Okay.
What's that?
How come? How come you want to go full
Oh,
part time?
yeah. So my husband and I are dreaming of, we're not dreaming, it's going to happen. In 3 years, when our youngest daughter graduates high school, we're going to buy a sailboat and sail around for a bit. Sabbatical for him, but not for me. I plan on working, continuing to service clients and make it back into town 2, 3, 4 times a year. So yeah, that's the reason. That's the
Okay.
BFG.
Awesome. Do you spend time holding that vision every day?
Yes.
Awesome. You have like a vision. How do you get into that space?
Yeah, the vision. My husband and I talk about it quite often. I mean, we have little things around the house, like the kids want to go do something. Push a button that says, sorry, can't afford that. I mean, we can, but we're saving for other things. So yeah, I mean, it's a constant, conversation in our lives. Yes, we have a vision board that's got a picture of a boat and, the savings goals and what we have to do today to get there in 3 years. And so yes, it's a constant reminder for me.
Okay. Just a small tweak to the words. Find a different way to express can't afford that.
Well, that's for the kids. We can't afford that.
Well, yeah, but and You're
doesn't
also
fit.
saying out loud, and that a mindset piece of that is every time you say it, you confirm it to yourself.
Yeah.
Even though I know the logic
I
behind
hear
it,
you.
how many
I
different
hear
ways
you.
to say it? Okay.
Yeah, I'll reword that and say, sorry, can you circumnavigate the globe with that? Does that help?
We've got other priorities, something like that.
There you go.
We've got our big vision. Can't wait to feel that water. So they don't get on board. And you keep experiencing the same of what you had, of
I
what you're
feel
experiencing.
as, yeah, there's no drive for them to, I mean, if I ask them to do something, they'll get it done. They're not proactive with doing things, I guess is another,
Sure.
I mean, they'll get it done if I ask them to, but I have to ask. I shouldn't have to ask.
Well, and my reflection to you in that is the vision that you have, the BFG, is for you. And so they're not attached to that vision. They can't feel the sailboat or the wind in their hair or the water. They can't picture what it's going to be like when their youngest is out of the home. Like that's all personal to you. And so is there a way that you can cast the vision that encourages that? That's a question I have that you don't have to answer here. Maybe that's one that you take to a practice management call. But the other question I have is, so what? So they don't grab on. They don't follow. They don't, I mean, they do, but it's slow and you're the one pulling. Can you reach your BFG?
Yes.
So it doesn't actually matter if they come along with speed or are sluggish.
It doesn't matter. No.
Okay.
And then on the note of how can I relay that to them, you know, we have quarterly and annual goals of, you know, increasing numbers of plans and clients. You know, we have the ideal client conversation and, you know, especially now when we're in the gathering of assets, it's kind of a, we don't just want anybody. We want the ideal client that
Sure.
will help build upon too. So, yes.
That's the how again for them, but not necessarily the why. So until they have something that they're drawn towards, they're not going to have the same momentum as you. But what I heard you say is, no matter what they do, I'm on that boat.
True.
And I also picture you still holding on to them. That's the weight, that's the resistance that you feel.
True.
My invitation to you is, what does it look like this?
Letting them go.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
I'm not actually saying, I'm not
Yeah.
giving advice on that. I'm just saying, like, you've just told me you don't need them to succeed towards this, and yet you're still holding them accountable as if you are. And
Gotcha.
so it sounds like you're the one that's suffering in this, not them.
True. Yeah, and I know that. I mean, I'm like I said, they want to succeed. It's not an option where, you know, they can go or I can go. It's, you know, we're in this for the long haul and
Sure.
yeah. It's where
Yeah.
we both it's where we all need to be. It's just like I said, I have to accept the fact that I want it a little more than they do probably. And that's really, I guess, the takeaway.
So sit with that. See how you'd like to relate to that from a leadership perspective. You can also ask questions like, hey, I notice I asked you to do this and it didn't happen. What am I missing? Or, you know, just stir up other conversation too. I'm happy to continue this if you want to post some of it on Tribe, if you want to get into more of the tactics of how to approach the conversation. So let me know.
Thanks, Liz.
Yeah, absolutely. Was that helpful?
It was.
All right. I'm going to take Amy off of Spotlight and I'm going to look at the chat here just a moment. Someone offered just privately for you, Amy, if you haven't considered Hubly or CRM workflows, that might be helpful.
Yeah, we do. We have a CRM. We use workflows.
Awesome. Okay. So who wants to go next? Got a lot of twos. Happy to do, one-to-one conversations here. Who's up? Who wants to make this the best last third of the year? By one conversation. I guarantee it. Or I don't. You know, open to it. I see some twos from Mark and from Jeff and from David and Cecilia, from Terry, from Edwin, kind of from Jeremy, Christine, Bridget. Who wants to get coached? Awesome, Jenny. Who wants to sing Sounds of Silence? Anyone? Anyone? Jeff.
No one wants to hear that. Looks like you fixed everybody, Liz. Good work. Well, mission
your magic wand is working today.
I'll throw something out there. I may have mentioned to you guys before or not, how I find it challenging talking with friends and loved ones about, you know, striking out on my own, with my own firm. Like, there's a lot they don't get, which I've kind of come to let go of, because if someone is accustomed to being an employee for all of their professional life, there are just going to be things that they've never experienced as a business owner. And that's okay. I've had a loved one in my life recently. I felt like, and maybe this isn't what they mean, but it feels like they're telling me what to do. And I get really defensive with that. I guess what I'm a question for you, Liz, would be how to navigate. I'm trying to stay curious with them and figuring out, you know, sort of what's behind. Like, am I interpreting what they're saying correctly? And whatever the truth is, like, kind of how to navigate that.
What do you make it mean that they're telling you what to do?
So it's feeling like I'm saying I have X, Y, and Z going on this week. Mm-hmm. And they're saying, well, really, you should have more client meetings. Like, you're not even in my industry. What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. So I think for me, it might be some fear of, maybe I should have more client meetings.
Mm.
Like, maybe they're right. but also, I'm just not really knowing how to take what they're saying. And, I'm trying not to tell myself a story that isn't really there.
So it sounds like it has a place to land, the comments.
What do you mean?
Like if you are completely confident in the number of client meetings that you have and the structure that you set up, it'd be like, okay, cool. Thanks.
Right.
Yeah. And you would move on, but it has a place to land where it causes pause.
Sure.
What's that about?
I mean, I'm not even a year in my own business, so it's still very much, you know, building time, building and growing and all of the things to do. Mm-hmm.
So what?
I don't know, just some lack of certainty or fear of, you know, fear of failure, basically. Mm-hmm. I also don't like being told what to do.
Oh, so, how come?
Well, by at least with regard to like someone who doesn't know the industry or how my business is run or mm-hmm. how any business in this industry is run. Mm-hmm. It felt like mansplaining in a way. Mm-hmm. I'm like, please stop.
Mm-hmm. So I noticed that there's like two directions we can go with this. One is your relationship to right wrong, and the other is ways, like practical ways to handle this conversation as it happens. Mm-hmm. And what you're making it mean, what it could mean, all of that. What do you want to, where do you want to go?
I think more the how to handle this conversation, mm-hmm. Or however you put it, the second choice. Mm-hmm. I mean, I definitely know that I posted in the chat earlier that for me, sometimes my wanting to be right or not wrong is about, you know, feeling worthy. Mm-hmm. So I know that already.
So what's predictable to happen when that person's like, well, you should have more meetings in the week?
What do you mean what's predictable?
Like what's the predictable response that comes out of you?
I think how I've dealt with it so far is that, you know, I have certain things I'm focusing on right now, and, you know, growth is something that's laid down over time. And it's not, and I want to have, the right client and not just any client.
And you say that out loud to this person.
I have said some of that out loud. Yeah.
Okay. So you respond back with the right client, right time, different way of going about it.
Yeah, there's that. But also, I've been toying with this today, like maybe what my response should be is, you know, I notice you've made these comments, like, what is this about for you? Like, mm-hmm. are you just in management mode? Like, this is how you talk to employees? I don't know. Like, like, is this about you or is this about me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Something along those lines, like trying to get curious about why it's even a comment, mm-hmm. versus sometimes I forget that just because someone asks me a question doesn't mean I have to answer it.
Mm-hmm. I think in any relationship, we create these relational patterns, and it sounds like it goes a particular way of like, this is what I'm doing. You should do it differently. I'm doing it the way that I want to. Well, you, why are you doing it that way? Like, and it just goes back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And at some point, to cut that pattern, change the energy.
Right.
Are you uncomfortable right now? Mm-hmm. Or that's a great idea. I'm going to work on that.
Right.
And first, I'm going to do these other things. Thanks for the encouragement. See ya. Or whatever.
I'm enjoying some of the comments in the chat.
They are funny. And mm-hmm. also, when we, like, it doesn't have to be so heavy.
Right.
It doesn't have to mean so much. It can just be their way of relating to you. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to drag you down.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Thanks. Love it. I love how much you support me. Thank you.
Right.
See all of the good in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point.
What do you want to do with it?
I like the idea of changing the energy because one of my thoughts of, you know, I don't really know what is going on for this person when they're saying this is, are they just being playful and I'm taking it wrong? So yeah, I think the changing the energy,
mm-hmm.
keeping it lighter, at least for myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Create what you want. Cool. Did that help?
Yes. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks for getting coached. That just reminded me of a conversation I had with my husband a couple of years ago. And I was like, I think I want to write a book. And he's like, how can you write a book? Like, you haven't done the research for it. And I'm like, and typically that would take me down this path of like, oh my gosh, I know I'm not doing it right. And blah, 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 blah. Like, and just in that moment, I was like, I don't know. People write books all the time. And he continued to ask the way he asked questions and it's okay. Like he's allowed to work it out in his brain. And I'm allowed to have the experience that I want. Yep. What else, y'all? Anybody going to the FPA conference in Columbus, Ohio? If you are, post in the chat because I want to meet up. Great state of Ohio. Yeah, I love that. Be who you say you are. You know, that's an interesting one because I was kind of thinking about that earlier when Eric was sharing about like just something that I'm learning right now is that this, like I've posted about good girl syndrome and how actually inauthentic that is because I have opinions I'm not sharing. I have something that I believe that I'm actually hiding from the people closest to me. And in service of like keeping the waters calm, in service of making them think that things are fine. And what's fascinating about that is that, you know, I had a conversation with my husband, just putting all my stuff on the table today. But he said to me like, Liz, I don't get it. We have these conversations, like the buildup conversation, then we, you know, get into the, not really an argument, conversation, kind of an argument, I don't know. And he gets to the end of it and he's like, I don't get it. It feels like we're fine a lot, but you're telling me that things are not fine. I'm like, well, yeah, that is my defense mechanism there. It's a big mask that I wear all the time, pretending like things are fine. And I'm really freaking good at it. I got a great smile when I get any political client or political comment coming from a client. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Even though I don't believe what they're saying or I'm really uncomfortable, or someone wants me to do something and I see it differently. Like, I have a really delightful manipulative way of getting around them by pretending I have no opinion. And it's not necessarily bad. Like, there's a time and place for everything. Kindness matters. And they know that you're pretending. What do you mean by that, Rashani? That's interesting. Yeah,
I think that, like, I kind of do the same thing sometimes. And I think that it somehow shows in your body language that you're just trying to calm the situation. So
yeah,
you think we're pretending so well, they kind of feel this uneasy feeling, like you're not completely in agreement. So
yeah,
you know, things are not that calm. But
yeah, I think I agree with that. Like, what's really going on inside of us does transmit at a very subconscious level for everybody. And whether they're aware of it or not aware of it, depends on how present they are in the conversation, for sure. That's interesting. Yep. Allison, we talked about that, remember?
Yeah, you caught me last week. I said, that's interesting to Liz.
I said, when people say that's interesting, that's a deflection of the conversation.
I was like, yes, it is.
JP, you got them rolling out today, all these cracks. All right, we got 15 minutes or so. Who else would like a shift in their relationship to the present moment? Oh, I don't mind. I like the playfulness. Where'd you go on vacation, JP? I don't even know if I've seen you on camera. Care to come on camera? Oh, yeah, we have met before. I do recall. How was vacation? You're on mute.
Can you hear me now?
I can. Yes, indeed.
Vacation was good. Went to Puerto Rico.
Not nice.
Quite what I expected. I'm kind of scouting it out for family trip later this year, but
awesome.
Doing some multitasking while I'm listening and watching. So sorry.
Nice.
Video off.
I love it. You know, there's all different levels of engagement, and thank you for participating. What, as you come back into work mode, have you learned from being away?
Probably best not to schedule vacation right next to a 3-day long regional meeting that I've got to go back into a hotel for.
Oh, okay. All right. Good.
Yeah, no, I just needed it.
Yeah.
Time to re-energize. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not going to stay on here with blank air. I feel like that is, I mean, someone's got to sing or entertain. So if that's not going to happen and nobody wants a shift that they've paid for with Limitless, we can just conclude. I mean, that's up to you.
Well, can I ask a question, Liz?
Sure. Since
I very sadly was sick last week and had to miss going to Denver.
Oh yeah, FOMO. Sorry.
Can I ask what everyone's top takeaway was?
Sure. Yeah. Anybody want to post it in the comments, go for it. Or if you want to come on live, you can. In the meantime, I'll share because I'm already live. And Stephanie nailed one of my mindset hiccups, which she keeps pointing me towards, which is this like resistance I have with just being like the full out retirement coach with the financial planning team behind me. And it hit me to a new level this time. And I realized what I am most scared about in just being like going full out Liz mode in the world with Pleasant Wealth is that I'm worried about other financial planners, how they react to me, how other coaches react to me, because I'm not then purely financial planning and then I'm not purely coaching. And so who am I, which is a place I get myself into quite a bit. And it really points back to my most deep fear, which is not belonging. And yet I am this innovator. And so it does, like, I'm always pushing the edges of and bringing two worlds together. That's how I go about life. And so you can't be fully innovator, bringing new ideas forth, if you're scared about the way that people are going to react to you. So that was that. That was what I was faced with, and it unlocked quite a bit for me.
I will say the conversation with Amy made me rethink about my own, the way I come across. One of the reasons I moved firms was because I was meeting doubt. Tired of meetings about meetings, and not saying that it's to that extent where you guys are all at, but I do wonder after that conversation how others take some of the comments I make that are meant to be more light. And in reality, I'm, you know, I used to be president of a chamber, and I would make comments at a meeting, you know, I don't understand why these conversations take 20 minutes when you got the win within the first 2 minutes. So I think I'm going to have to overthink every once in a while and be okay with overthinking. Just think about how it's coming across to others.
Yeah. I love that self-awareness, JP. I think the humble nature of just bringing that to your own attention, that's what mindset work is all about. And each of us come to conversations from a state of being, like a natural way of doing things. And so you've now defined what it is that you do. And mindset work is easy, because you just shift out of it. And then you find that you are able to get the same result with less effort. And so I'll be curious to see what you learn as you dig into that. Thanks for sharing.
I'll just share, this is Eric. I decided not to go to the workshop because I felt like I had more than enough on my plate to work on, particularly for the virtual one. And for me, that's actually a big step forward to say enough is enough. You don't need more ideas. You don't need another initiative. Just execute on this stuff. And so I hope everyone had a great time, but I actually was really proud of myself to say that's good.
Congratulations. That's awesome. Twelve minutes. What's going to happen?
Hey, Liz, I think you should talk about the benefits of taking vacation. I know.
What do you see?
Well, I mean, we did a 3-week vacation earlier in the year, and my husband works in corporate USA. You know, he's a manager, and he came back with such a wide open thought of, you know, everyone needs to just go unplug, step away from it all, and just get away from it all. It really is recharging and can bring a lot of clarity to what really truly matters in life when you unplug and step away.
Yeah.
So that's my thought.
And if I may be so bold as to ask, how did that shift your relationship with him as you experienced him having his own epiphany?
Well, he's so overwhelmed and stressed at work, and it was nice to see him not totally balls to the wall and running around like a chicken with their heads cut off kind of thing. So, I mean, yeah, your personal relationship's always going to be better when you're not overwhelmed and consumed by your work, which, you know, it's majority of our life, but it's not the only thing in life.
What about his, the people at work that he related to? Any shift that you heard him say about those relationships?
Well, he highly encouraged everyone to go take a 2-week vacation. Just go. I don't care where you go, just go. So.
It's interesting that you bring that up because I hear people with resistance, you know, with the limitless, like 100 days off, that component of like, how could I do that? What will my clients think? And notice the permission that was created. And it wasn't you in your limitless mode, it was him in his corporate world giving himself that permission. And then notice the ripple effects of that that happened in the different relationships. And I bet he probably couldn't even pin down all of the ripple effects, positive ripple effects of unplugging.
True. Yeah, and it makes you feel like you're so overwhelmed and things won't run without me. When you do step away, you do get that, holy crap, stuff does get done when I'm not around kind of feeling sometimes too. So that can be a huge mindset and shift too. We all think we're 100% important, right?
Take ourselves a little less seriously.
Liz, do you mind if I ask you a follow-up question, something you just mentioned? You said something about mindset and it being, I don't know if I fully understood it, but you were basically saying mindset, as I understood it, something like acknowledging or kind of bringing awareness to something. And then you said so that you could do something with less energy. Did I remember it like that? To talk a little bit more about what that is and how you view what mindset work is and how to do it.
Each of us are protecting against our biggest fears of not being, not belonging, unworthy. One more, I just can't think of it. And when we do that, we have created strategies throughout our life to protect from our worst fear. So my strategy of fearing that I don't belong is good girl. It is coming across and cleaning up around the edge. It's very performative. It's very planning oriented. It's very like I will delight as far as like I will use my creative energy to make you feel really good. And that is, it's good. Like I'm skilled in those things. I'm a good planner. I'm a great creative. I'm really good at hosting people. Like there's a lot of great benefits that come from that. But inherently baked within, if I'm approaching that from a place of fear, it takes more energy from me. If I'm approaching that from a place of total trust that I belong no matter what, it takes much less effort from me, much less energy. And so you can look at any task that you do that you are good at. Like, what's something that you do that you're really good at, Eric?
I do a really good job taking financial or investment concepts and using analogies to help people understand. And then they'll go, that makes total sense. I've never heard of that one. So yeah, just translating
Awesome.
for people.
Yeah, so I'm just going to make total assertion and it doesn't have to be right at all, but this would be kind of an example of that. So on one hand, you can take something complex and make it very simple. On another hand, you can take something very direct and that you want to say and water it down to land lightly on people.
Oh yeah, I totally agree.
As to not rock the boat for them, as to not like
Sure.
generate some sort of reaction. So,
Right.
really great things that can happen, but the amount of energy that you put into a metaphor for a client to make a concept more simple versus like trying to figure out the best way to explain this to someone, as to not like, those are very different energies. What do you hear in my share about that?
I hear a framework that you're referring to, that people are protecting themselves against biggest fears. I am fascinated by frameworks because it seems like a shortcut to life. You're like, oh, is there like some sort of principle at work? So that is super interesting. The idea of creating strategies strikes me as absolutely true. I can see that in myself. And then apparently you have some method for applying this to yourself and other people. And that's probably where you get your great questions from. That it's useful and it sounds like it's bringing good things out of yourself and other people that you're identifying with. So I'm like, this is very fascinating, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like if you meet a personal trainer and you're like, I don't know how exercise works. And they're like, well, there's these principles and mm-hmm. let me teach them to you. So it sounds like you have a framework there that's really useful. I would love to hear more about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And some of the limitless worksheets really point to this too. So I'm thinking of the one, I'm not going to have the right names of them, but one is like self-talk for success. And it is, Allison will probably say this better than me, but it's got like a bunch of different icons, like how you relate to time and leverage and different things. Inherently baked within that is this place of like resistance where we have some sort of fear attached to using our time a specific way or leveraging other people. What does that mean about us? And so we put a lot of meaning onto it, and that keeps us from actually implementing the things that Limitless teaches us to do. But it's just a story. It's just a story that we've created. It's a context that we have approached life with. And you could meet somebody on the street and ask them if they believe the same thing. And they'd be like, no, I'm just going to have that conversation with that person directly. Like, who cares if they don't understand me? Well, that's not the way I operate. But that would be a lot easier sometimes. So anyway, I hope that's clear. And Allison, if you want to iterate any further on particular.
Yeah, I'm dropping the workbook in the chat right now. It's the belief busting workbook. And you just assess your mindset around a particular subject and then dive into it a little bit deeper, similar to how Liz does on these calls, but it can help you do it privately around any topic.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And if you want to like approach it and try, fill it out and see what lands for you and then post it in Tribe, I can give you some feedback on it directly.
Awesome. Thank you.
Absolutely. All right, friends, it's been a delight. I won't see you next month because I have a speaking engagement right at the same time as this call. So you will be in with Stephanie going over one of the best lessons, which is the money mindset. I'm bummed that I will miss it with you. But what a great conversation that you'll have on the next third Monday. So I'll catch you in November.